from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster that you know, I'd like to be associated with leafy greens more than roughage. I think they may be the same thing, or maybe one provides the other. But I want to be leafy like a green. It's not easy being green, as Kermit says, and I repeat, it's darn good for you. Just like being comforted by your boyfriend, your companion in the deep, dark night, because that's who I am. And what is this? It's Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And if you're a regular listener, if I could just keep your attention for a few minutes at the top of the show, and then after the theme song, you could go ahead and kick back and drift off, because these are the ways we keep the show going. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. With just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking, if the answer to those questions are yes, yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show. If it was missing from my life, I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each design designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. And a lot of work goes into making sleep with me, Mystery Bard. Who or whom works on this podcast, helping keep it going?
Posty poster song. Sounds like an earful. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes. Carl W. The Legend. Also edits episodes. Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer. Runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at Jonathan Mann. I'll write a song for you. Any reason at all. You can tell me the story and I'll make it personal. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Laura, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want. Sleep with me podcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Nine Fail Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. You can get me through the website as well. And you can listen to Sleep with Me in your smart speakers, or that's a good way to encourage people. Say, hey, just play Sleep with Me podcast. In the old smart speaker, and guess that's it. Let's keep the show going. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, you know, things that, you know, things on your mind, things you're feeling, things coming up. It could be on the road, someone else is on the road, a temperature, whatever it is, whatever's keeping you awake, I'd like to take your mind off of that. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders, rustified tangents, friendly banter, extra words. If you're new, let me give you, I go off topic for a few more minutes, but let me give you a couple things right up front. I'm glad you're here. Welcome. And I appreciate your time, and that's why I want to tell you these things. One, give this podcast a few tries, but when you do, you know, you can consume it however you wish, but don't try to figure it out too much, because you see, just kick back and passively kind of observe it. Kind of like watching a fish in a fish tank, it would be the best way to describe it. There's not too many times you're focused, they don't say, hold on, I'm focused on the fish tank. They say, we got the lottery's on the other line, Bob. Well, hold on, I'm focused on the fish tank right now. I can't, I'm paying strict attention to these fish in this fish tank. And they say, well, it's about the lottery. They need to hear from you in the next 4 seconds. Sorry, I'm focused on the fish tank. Didn't you hear me the first time I said it? And then they say, okay, we got the national greatest award winner's award ever. For award giving on the line. Well, no, I'm still watching the fish here. I'm focused on the fish tank. There's a treasure chest that opens every once in a while with bubbles. And they say, Bob, that fish tank's been in our home for 8 years. I got to get back to the treasure chest, because when it opens, then it closes again, and I'm trying to figure out what's in there. So you can't, like, I guess that would be an interesting way to consume podcasts or fish tanks. And there is something soothing sometimes about fish tanks. You know, everybody has, might have a different, but you, where you just kind of, you notice every once in a while, you'll look at the fish. You'll say, I mean, one, you say, is the fish going to the number, you know, are you going to the bathroom? Then you say, okay, I'm not going to look at the fish tank ever again. Inevitably you do. When you're feeding the fish, you usually give it attention. When you're like, when you're in a certain age range, I'd say second grade to fifth or sixth grade, and you go over to somebody's house and they have a fish tank, you usually look in. Some people are tappers. Some people are not tappers. Maybe I'll come back to this fish tank metaphor. But so don't try, like, just kind of kick back and watch me like I'm a fish wandering around, because it's pretty much what I am. And they say, you know, just like in those Pixar movies, they say, ooh, going around again. So that's one thing. Don't focus too much. I'm here to help. And it's a bit different. It's pretty goofy. And it doesn't have to work. There's no pressure. There's no pressure on you to fall asleep. That's one thing. You can just kind of kick back, and I'm going to keep you company, and we'll see how it goes. But give it a few tries. It doesn't work for everybody. But really, in all honesty, I'm here to help if I can. Okay, so that's one thing. Here's another thing. You don't need to listen to me. Like most podcasts, I guess I kind of said that. You say, you know, a lot of other pets, they say, well, you're going to pet that pet? Or even, you know, say, well, are you going to watch? Or the pet say, hey, give me some attention over here. Or a cat, it's more different. You say, the cat says, well, I don't want your attention, but now I do. If you're not going to get, you know, it's more complicated. But a fish, I don't even know. The fish kind of says, is that person going to give me some food or what? No, I'll just keep wandering around then. And some fish, you know, every fish is different. Again, I don't want to throw all the fish in one tank. You know, no pressure to listen, no pressure to fall asleep. Structure the show. Show starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we keep the podcast free and going twice a week. New shows come out Sunday and Wednesday nights. The show starts off with a few minutes of business, then an intro. The intros are around 12 minutes or so of me using a metaphor like a fish tank to describe how the podcast works for 12 minutes. Also, put some people to sleep during the intro. Some people get ready for bed. Some people use it as part of their wind down routine, brushing their teeth and such. Some people listen during the day when they need a little break or a breather, whatever it is. But the intro, it's not efficient, I guess I would say. Some podcast intros are very efficient. You know, welcome to the Newsy Newscast, where we talk about the latest news related to the musical Newsy and the Newsy fan community. Let's get started. Breaking news about Newsies. Scoots doesn't know very much about it, other than I like it when they sing on the Trolley and California Adventure. Also, not even sure if that's related to Newsies. Here's an idea. If you're getting a fish tank, name your fish Nosy and Newsy. But, you know, not in an ironic way, which they say, oh, is that about the current? No, it's about Newsies, the musical. It's just like how it's Newsy. Nothing about news or anything other than the Newsies musical. That's why my fish is named Newsy. Oh, I didn't know you were a fan of Newsy, the musical. No, I'm working on my own musical called Snoozy. It actually doesn't have any music in it. It's a sleep podcast. Yeah, and that's just an accidental pun I came across when I said Newsies 55 times in a row, that I should have a musical called Snoozy. I'd definitely ask Swoozy Kurtz to appear in it. So anyway, I don't know what I was saying. Oh, the intros can be long and rambling, and they don't make a lot of sense. But they're here to help. They're here to take your mind off stuff, to take the stress off of bedtime, and to keep you company. And that's what the kind of show does. So there's the intro, then there's a story. Tonight, it'll be a little bit of a personal connection. It's going to be mostly about the 1950s revival that happened in the 70s into in the cusp of the 80s, and some of my personal relationships with some of the pop culture at that time, particularly Sha Na Na. And maybe, like, to be honest, it'll be a little bit of a healing journey. I think I'll bring my friend, my imaginary friend Bill, along with me. So that'll be tonight's bedtime story. And it'll be lulling and soothing. And, you know, you say, who's in? And for some of you, you could sleep through it because you say, I'm not familiar with any of those things. I say, well, you could look in the show notes or listen during the day or just Google it. So that'll be what we're talking about. Then we'll have, in between the intro and the show, we have some business. And at the end of the show, we have some thank yous. So what was I saying, though? So I guess, like, the whole idea of the show is that it's like a little bit of a fish tank. Because I think, like, a fish, the podcast is supposed to take your mind off whatever's keeping you awake. It's supposed to be a distraction and a friendly presence to keep you company. To make you, to be honest, like to make things less lonely and less serious at bedtime. And I could see this as a parental strategy, and it's pure projection because my parents did not use this strategy. But like you say, okay, well, oh, you want a puppy? Well, how about a fish? Like a little you want a cat? Seems like a big commitment. How about a fish? In the hopes, I would imagine, that the fish would distract you from they say, okay, well, you're getting a pet, and maybe it's a good testing ground to say, well, can you care for this pet? That kind of comes in a self-contained own environment, you know, that does involve some maintenance. So I've heard. I don't think I've owned any as an adult. As kids, we had fish on and off. Yeah, but so what was my point? I remember setting a few fish for free. But like your goldfish free. But so, yeah, they say, well, let's get the kid a fish, get Junior a fish. And maybe that'll take their mind off of stuff. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there is a percentage of people, and it's a wonderful thing, that are fish enthusiasts, because you hear about saltwater tanks and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And they say, You inherit your parents or relatives' passion for fish. I don't know what you call it. Like, I know a fishmonger is someone that sells fish, and a fisher person is someone that fishes for fish. And that's like, so I don't know what a fish enthusiast is called. A fish fan, I guess it would be a fish fan. I like the band Fish, but that's a different thing. But so you'd say, okay, well, or maybe just as a kid, you say, well, what do you want for Christmas? Well, you say, well, I'd like this, or I'd like that, I'd like some games, or, you know, something I could use my imagination with, or maybe some, you know, an art pad. Maybe I want something that makes, you know, bells, that has bells and whistles on it, and some tinsel, like not tinsel, but I always wanted something with those ribbons. I don't know what they're called, tassels. I'd like something with tassels. I'd say, tassels? I'd say, yeah, that's what I'd like, tassels and ribbons, please. But maybe some children say, you know what I've always wanted is a fish of my own. Okay, that'll be in the musical. That's a definitely easy number. In the snoozical, what did I say it was going to be called? The snoozical, starring Swoozy Kurtz, A Fish of My Own. That'll start when she plays a little Andy in her room. And yeah, I think this could be to talk about changing subjects, but I could see it as Swoozy Kurtz. She's playing the great sleep podcaster, Swoozina. And she's talking about the days when she was a little Andy in her room. And that she would her first, that would be her first, I mean, there'd be a number first, because I think that usually there's like two songs. And then she would say that would be what she needed. This would also set up a metaphor for the rest of the musical. And it would be, the song would be A Fish of My Own. Maybe it's already in one of the musicals. It could be. So it'd be like maybe that she's gone somewhere and seen someone else that has fish. And she just wants a fish of her own. Ian, it could also, like, then it would also, we could use it for exposition for the parents, because one of the parents would be like, don't you want some sea monkeys? Don't you want some sea monkeys? And, or maybe a sibling says that, and then they say, those are just fake. So, anyway, back to the podcast. So, the whole idea of the podcast is to keep you company. Like, you say, well, you got that fish in your room, Swoosie. And she says, actually, I'm the actress. I'm playing a role. I'm not a, you know, don't get super meta where you're talking to me. Talk to Andy. They say, okay, well, we know you wanted a puppy and a cat, but we got you this fish. And she's also say, this is the wrong musical because this one I'm asking for a fish. They say, you know what, believe it or not, Swoosie, you're going to have to excuse me. I'm in the middle of a sleep podcast introduction. Not the imaginary musical I never wrote about that you're starring in within my imagination. And also, how come I can't get tickets to a music? Like, it's easier to get tickets to Hamilton than to get tickets to this musical, the Swoosical. A snoozical, Swoosical. That's the industry name for it, Swoosie, because you're so great in it. That was what a review I was going to write was, you'll swoon. For Swoosie in the Swoosical, that's not a snoozical. And soon you'll be asking, who's the Whoosical? When you get served from the Seuss estate, you know, the Seuss estate, they say, we can't use any of those. Anyway, if you're a new listener, sorry, Swoosie, let me get you coffee. Also, would you like a fish? That's why you're saying, okay, here you go. There you go. A fish of your own. Okay, I think I got out of that one. So if you're new, the podcast is a little bit different, a little bit goofy, a little bit silly. Here to keep you company. Here to be your friend. I've been there in the deep, dark night, tossing and turning. And if I can, I'd like to distract you, to make bedtime feel a little bit less serious. And I'll be here for an hour. So you drift off when you do. And if you don't, I'll be here till the very end. You can queue up in another episode, too. And I'll be your companion here. And I say this every time because I mean it. I appreciate your time. And I work very hard. I yearn and I strive. I'd really love it if I could help you fall asleep. Here's a couple of ways we keep the show going. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com. to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Hey, everybody. It's time for... This episode will be a little bit different. If you've been here a while, we've done a couple similar to this. But never like this. Like some things have came up and might, you know, trickled up, bubbled up. And in all honesty, I said, that's not a podcast episode. And these topics, I said, hey, come explore me. Come look into me. Dig a little deeper. And as sometimes I do, I said, yes, okay, let's look into this. Let's dig a little deeper. And it's something from mostly from my past. And it's a pretty neutral thing for most people, I think, or for a lot of people, a positive thing. But for me, my memory of it was unsure. And so I wanted to go there. And usually when I go into these past things, I like to bring along my friend Bill, who I just reunited with, my imaginary friend Bill. So Bill, could you come in here? Bill, are you in here? Just kidding, Bill. I know you're here. That was just imaginary friend-based humor. Wait a second, Bill. Sorry. Okay. Sorry. I just was making sure you were sitting down. Do you need a set of headphones, Bill, and a mic? No. So I'm here with my imaginary friend, Bill, my imaginary friend from childhood, all the way back. Been a while. I know, Bill. I know it's been a while. Every time I bring Bill back on the show, I wonder, Maybe this will be the day, though, Bill, because I could really use you. Really, I'm not kidding. Thanks. Bill took my hand in his hands. It's just the kind of thing an imaginary friend would do, Bill. Thanks. You know, I could really use you at the time, right now, Bill. So thanks. Bill's rubbing my back. And I kind of think he's rubbing yours, too, and taking your hand in his hand. It's nice, but Bill's my childhood imaginary friend. And again, Bill's a little bit, neutral face, not a frowny face, because you're trying to comfort me and soothe me. Thanks, Bill. But Bill is, every time we reunite, which has been, I think, twice in the past 4 years, they say, you know, Bill, this is it. We're going to spend a lot more time together. And, you know, that happens with some of my real friends that I've moved away from that I don't talk to. I say, okay, this is it. After this phone call, I'm going to be on top of it in regular touch. So much better about it. And I don't, but Bill, you know, I guess I don't have that excuse with you. And maybe, you know, maybe I just need the extra, maybe I just need to remind myself that you're here to soothe me, it to be at my side. Oh, to play with, too. Bill wanted me to say, not just to comfort, but to play with. It to play with, to imagine with, to look at clouds with, right, Bill? Yep, oh, yeah, that's good stuff, huh? It to lie and listen to sounds. Oh, yeah, those are good times. Well, Bill, you don't have the pleasure of the Sleep With Me listener who knows the title of the episode. And actually, I don't even know the title. I'm only guessing at the time. But a couple of things have come up, and I guess in the is I don't know if my mind has its own zeitgeist, Bill. Like, yeah, no, you wouldn't be you'd be on it today. New in the zeitgeist, now trending. Ideally for this day forward, my best friendship with my imaginary friend Bill. Yeah, we did. Shane and I did a lot of work with you, Bill. That was work. It wasn't connection, but, okay. I'm here. I'm back here with you, Bill. And where was I? I was saying, Okay. Let's get it all out there, Bill. Sorry. I haven't kept in touch. I probably needed you. So maybe that was maybe you just use the excuse. I get busy. I got to stay. How can I be in the moment if I'm in spending the time with my imaginary best friend from the past? Is that a contradiction? I'm living more in the moment now with my imaginary friend from childhood. It does sound like it makes sense, even though it doesn't. You're right, Bill. Bill, what was I talking about earlier? I totally forgot. Oh, this is so in the zeitgeist of my mind. Thanks, Bill. You really know how to tap someone on the knee. Pat someone on the knee. Thank you. So something's come up in the zeitgeist of my mind, Bill, the trending topics in my mind over the summer. And I finally pushed over the edge and said, come explore me. And longtime listeners of the podcast will know, we'll get into this in shades here. And I know there are some listeners from this era, but longtime listeners will know that I'm not a big fan of old music called oldies music, which would be the music of the 1950s in particular, right? Like Chantilly Lace. You're right, Bill. Though I like Chantilly Lace, which I think we'll see, and I don't know if that's actually an oldie song or not. Yeah, this is where it gets missing. Yeah, I do like La Bamba, and I like the name of the Big Bopper. And I guess it's a complicated, and yeah, I like the Blues Brothers. I don't know if they're connected to the 50s, though, Bill. You're right, though. They do play into the tonight's topic, which I guess you already know. It's like a strained relationship with music in the 1950s, which I'm just categorizing based on my own window, which is very narrow. So when I say oldies, I guess I just mean the music my parents liked, and maybe that'll be the way it is for my daughter. And I said to myself, huh, this is interesting. And then recently, Bill, earlier this summer, and I guess even for us it was the spring when we were recording episodes about the Great New York State Fair. Oh, you're right, it was June. You're right, Bill, that we recorded those. And we were talking about the free concerts to the Seafair, and Sha Na Na came up, and I knew that was like some sort of band related to 1950s music, and that there was a TV show that I may have seen as a kid, but I didn't really remember. And I remember, you know, I remember Bowser was the, he was the bass of the Bossa Nova, whatever, the person with the deep voice and the tallest of the Sha Na Na's. And other than that, at the time, Bill, I didn't really remember. I said, oh, I don't know. That's too, there's something about these 1950s and things that it's repelling me away. I'm noticing some sort of charge there. Right, Bill? Right. So then what happened? So I had it in my mind then. And then my daughter went and saw a local version of the musical Grease. And immediately from that point forward, insisted on singing and listening to the music of the, from the musical Grease over and over again. And it brought me back to saying, hey, when did, have I seen, I mean, I remember the music of Grease, though some of it was a surprise to me, Bill. Oh, yeah, I should explain what Grease is. You're right, Bill. And then Sha Na Na's more for a slow reveal, though. Okay, so Grease was a musical that I believe came out in, like, in, I don't know when it hit Broadway. I guess we could look it up, but let me just give you my impressions. I think it was a musical on Broadway. Then it was a movie. In the 70s, and it was starring John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John. And it was a musical about that took place in the 1950s and kind of celebrated the musical genre and just the 50s experience. Do you think I'm correct, Bill? Barely. You're right. I mean, but that's what I remember about it. I think I saw the movie Grease 2, and I'm not even kidding, like mostly. And I don't even know if Olivia, and then I did have a huge crush on Olivia Newton-John. And I also used to get Olivia Newton-John and Princess, this is might sound wild to some people, but Princess Di and Olivia Newton-John mixed up. I think just in my head, or they would remind me of each other and they one another, and they would give me that good feeling. Yeah, no, it wasn't a giant crush on Olivia Newton-John. Maybe, yeah, just if it was a very, I guess, Bill, I don't know if I was I'm comfortable saying that I was just attracted to her, but I guess I'll use your words. I think it was more, but I didn't really watch the Grease musical, so my attraction didn't stem from that. And that maybe the first time I saw Grease probably wasn't when it came out. It was many years later, after I'd seen Grease 2. You're right. And I'm not even sure. I can remember who the lead was in Grease 2, kind of. And then I can't really remember anything else. Right. And then there was okay, let's take it one thing at a time, though, Bill. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. I know you wanted to talk about The Outsiders. Another movie I did see, but it, like afterwards. So these weren't formative movies from my childhood. But, like, I think they would have been formative repeat movies or whatever of my childhood or formative experiences before I was conscious. So maybe I did see them, but I don't remember it. And then I've never seen that, Bill. This is another one in these movies. This we'll go into the 1950s revival and we'll look some facts up there. But so I didn't see Grease. You're right, Bill. Thanks for keeping me back on track. But my daughter started to talk about it, and I was actually surprised at one of the songs, which it sounded like a disco song to me, which goes, Grease is the word, have you heard, or something. But it has like this disco sound to it. And I said, oh, I always thought that was just a disco song. I really had no idea it was from the movie Grease. I didn't think they were saying Grease is the word. Have you heard? I thought they were saying like some disco word. And I just thought it was a song like you'd be, when I picture disco, I picture roller skating, disco dancing. And so I could picture people roller skating and disco dancing to that song. Maybe because of people with the sweet moves at Golden Gate Park that I check out sometimes. But so, okay, so that's that, Bill. So Grease was reintroduced into my life. And I was, I don't know what ambivalent means, but I wasn't, I was like, okay, this is a good thing. She loves Greece. Let me try. And I'd say, okay, well, can you not sing that? And then as a parent of, like, I'd say, well, boy, that's some racy stuff, this Greece. What kind of behavior is this encouraging? And then I said, I've become my parents' parents or something. What kind of well have I fallen into, Bill? And it reminded me that I have this complicated relationship with the 1950s. Wasn't burnt around in those eras. And I think because I was in the 80s, maybe there was this strange relationship with the 80s and the 50s. But particularly the music. And so I said, okay, well, Grease feels like a little bit of a parody of that music or a musical version of it. And I said, okay, I like that song. That one's not bad. So whatever. My daughter's been singing a lot of those songs. And so then I started to, I don't know if I, something, a third event happened, Bill. Maybe we'll remember talking about it. But then something else returned me to Sha Na Na. And like initially, before I started this investigation, Bill, into this trip into the past, here's what I remember about Sha Na Na. There was a TV show. I guess it was on at some point when I was a baby or something. And I said, I think I remember watching that show. And then I said, I think I remember going to a Grease concert and not enjoying it. But that I could see Bowser up on stage. And what? Okay. Oh, you're right, Bill. Better explain Sha Na Na in the 1950s. Okay. Maybe should we dig into some? Should we go factual and then personal, Bill? Okay. So I'm going to bring you some facts now about the 1950s, the 50s revival, and the 70s, based on some articles. So we're going to introduce some facts into here. But the premise right now is that I'm here with Bill, who kind of gives me some confidence in some certain things, and I mean, Bill and I have been working together on this research, because I said, what is it with my relationship with Sha Na Na that I say, oh boy, I need a little distance here, like, I don't want to think about that, like, it's like a strange non-intrusive thing that feels intrusive, and I say, what about this 50s music, leave me alone. And even Grease, I say, okay, can you keep that Grease at a keep that Grease at a distance from me? Please keep that Grease off of me. No Grease lightning for me. I'm not going to go, you know, Grease is not the word I've heard. And so I just thought it was interesting. And when Bill's here, like when I went back and investigated clouds, it was able to be this healing journey with Bill. So I figured we could try to heal, or not even heal, like maybe just walk into the past from an adult position of security, since I have my imaginary friend Bill here. Okay, so we have these three articles here. There's three articles that are here about the 50s revival. And this first one will give us an overview. It's from MeTV, and it's by the MeTV staff, February 2nd, 2016. And 9 reasons the 50s were better in the 70s. So this is kind of a positive nostalgia about the 70s version of the 50s. In the 70s, there was a wave of nostalgia like never before, and people wanted to revisit the 50s, and some of it was about the nifty 50s. And let's see, so we had oldie stations, and this has a cover picture from the movie American Graffiti. And we did have this, I think we had this record at my house, and we kind of would play it. I guess I'd have to look up what's on there at some point. But then there was oldie stations, which became very famous, I guess. Then there was American Graffiti, the movie, coming of age. It's set in 1962, and it was a George Lucas movie. One of my friends loves this movie. And that might be why I haven't seen it, is just to kind of frustrate him. And it was also a catalyst for Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley. And it was very successful. And I still haven't seen it, which is probably like, you probably should see it, you know. Maybe, I don't know. I guess I could see if it's my daughter. It's PG, so maybe I could see it with my daughter. Then there's a movie, the TV show, The Happy Days, which I do remember. in the Ron Howard, who is the lead character, I think, in American Graffiti, is one of the main characters in Happy Days, Richie Cunningham, now beloved director. But when it came to 50s nostalgia in the 70s, this was a TV sitcom, and it followed mostly the Cunningham family, and Joni, and Richie, and the parents. And then Fonzie was this cool dude that lived back behind their house, played by Henry Winkler. And I don't really remember. Well, we don't want to get too deep into the Happy Days, but this really helped. Then Laverne and Shirley, which I would say, this I haven't seen, but I would bet it this would age kind of well because of the brilliance. But I can't get too deep, which was a spinoff. You should just do like a Lavia Lavazel, Schmazel, Tzipek Incorporated. We're going to do it. But it was Happy Days was a spinoff of Laverne and Shirley. It wasn't so much 1950s, so maybe it's why I have a positive view of it. And that was a career maker. So another show to check out. Just Google it and say, okay, Laverne and Shirley. Then there was Grease, which came out in 78. I guess that's what I was guessing? I thought it was early 70s. And it was based on the 72 musical. It was a love story about two teenagers who grew up in opposite worlds. And the film was so popular that subsequent productions of the musical had to be altered to include popular elements from the film. And this says it's the highest grossing movie musical of all time. Then Elvis was a wave of nostalgia in the 70s, who had a career revival after things not going great in the 60s. They say, of course, Elvis's resurgence was in part due to his enduring popularity and talent, but if it wasn't for his 70s resurgence, he might have the same legacy he has today. Then this one I'm not familiar with, but it came up a few places, the Lords of Flatbush. It wasn't as popular as the other throwback films, but it was influential. It stars then-unknown Sylvester Stallone and Henry Winkler. Then Sha-na-na, which we'll talk about. We'll just skip over that. So that was the MeTV article, a little overview. Then there's an article from theartifice.com. And maybe we should read this. Let's read that one third because I guess these are both kind of this way. So this is good. So let's read the Artifice one next then. The Nifty 50s, an American myth in the 70s. Let me see if I can see an author here and the date of when this article came out, but I'll link to it. I'm not seeing anything on the mobile page, but it's from theartifice.com. During the 70s, people were it wasn't a great time. And people yearned for a more relaxed, carefree life. People said, well, let's encourage that nostalgia of the 50s to alleviate this tension. And so the invocation of 50s in pop music and film suggests, that people said, well, I'm kind of over the 60s or I didn't enjoy the 60s. And it was spread to college campuses and people were like taking 50s quizzes, motorcycle jackets, ducktail haircuts, poodle skirts. Elvis, who was at the peak in the 50s, then Grease came out in the 70s, Happy Days came out. Oh, this was the end of the 70s, 78. And 50s nostalgia kicked off in Woodstock. So we covered here right before Jimi Hendrix. And actually, I watched some of the Woodstock movie or some film from this. And this immediately changed my view of Sha-na-na right away. And I said, oh, goodness, this is going to be Bill and I are in for a journey. So I kind of read from this article and we'll come back to it. But the sun came up on the final day and it was Jimi Hendrix waiting for the curtain call. The opening act was Sha-na-na, an a cappella group that turned 50s revival act. I guess we'll talk about the rest of it. But they hit the stage, and it was just amazing. And then Elvis Presley, as we kind of talked about. So this is kind of, I guess this is, let's see, 70s. Tom Parker had sanitized Elvis' persona and made Elvis campy. You could say that this is Colonel Tom Parker. Had the American value of capitalism, and he became Vegas Elvis in the 60s and 70s. Let's see, then Grease, which came out. Let's see, Grease deserves to be an American myth because it's a reminder of who we want, of who we want to be, where the rules, there ain't no rules. This opens, Love is a Many Splendor Thing, opens this movie musical with a marvelous, soaring, inane sound. Olivia Newton-John as Sandy and John Travolta as Danny have a summer romance. But then they run back into each other at Rydell High School, which is Danny's universe. Danny was the coolest greaser in town, and he was trying to avoid Sandy because he wanted to be tough as the leader of his group, the T-Birds. Sandy was determined to win her love back with her crew, the Pink Ladies. And she figured out a way to sweep back the leader of the Burger Palace Boys. This article says Grease pulsates with the rhythms of the 50s. The music fits the characters. Danny is love struck as Sandy explodes on the scene later on. And they sing, "You're the one." Oh, that was song was from there too. "You're the one that I want." I guess I kind of knew that. So it had everything that teenagers wanted. Then there was Happy Days. "These happy days are yours and mine." A jukebox was a symbol of the 50s, and Happy Days played on that. Well, as a sitcom in the 70s, it was all about the 50s nostalgia. It was on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m., and the show centers on the all-American Cunningham family. Howard, Marion, and their two children, Richie and Joni. Their boarder turned a greaser social good guy, Fonzie, better known as the Fonz. And Fonzie was there to kind of mentor Richie and kind of be an older brother type figure. He also tutored Richie's friends Patsy and Ralph. And later he had, it was a popular show. The Cunningham family had the value of eating dinner together. Fonzie always appeared in leather jackets and with a motorcycle. He was an American individualist. And while people might have said he was a troublemaker, he wasn't edgy like James Dean or Marlon Brando. And Richie was always a good guy. Happy Day was born by two snowbound TV executives in Newark, New Jersey airport in 71. Michael Eisner and Tom Miller were looking for nostalgia, innocence, and morality by coming up with a family-oriented sitcom as a distraction. Then it talks about, so the nostalgia of the 50s is presented by Sean and I at Woodstock in 69. So it's an Artifice article, nice little article there. Then this one's from rebeatmag.com. And those weren't the days, the 50s revival, the 70s. This is by James Ryan, February 24th, 2015. He starts with a quote from Proust. Bruce Proust, "Remembrance of things past is not necessarily the remembrance of things as they were." You said it. And it says, by the end of the 70s, everyone liked it again. You know, people didn't like disco or punk or, even the 60s. So they had, poodle skirts, kind of the same thing we said, which was created this nostalgia movement. It began almost as soon as the 70s because they started Dan Coffey started it, and Jerry Osborne, who was under the name Dan Coffey. Started KOOL-FM in Phoenix, and that was the first oldies channel. And then it was emulated by other markets, hitting New York in 72, WCBS. Then in 72 was also the musical Grease on Broadway. And then all the, you know, the stuff appearing in films like American Graffiti. Oh, the album had 41 original hits from the soundtrack of American Graffiti. And so it reintroduced such artists as Bill Haley, Chuck Berry, Buddy Holly, went triple platinum. And then they were still revisiting a decade when Gary Marshall offered a pilot to ABC, New Family in Town, which they passed on. They did suggest it be reworked into a segment for the then airing Love American Style under the title Love and Happy Days. And then after American Graffiti took off, Marshall said, hey, let's work this into the show, Happy Days. And it was a moderate success. It was 16th place overall in the Nielsen's in 74. It was a one-camera on-set shoot. And when it was became a three-camera show in front of a live studio audience. It was so successful. Then Laverne and Shirley, which averaged a third overall for the season in the Nielsen's in its first season. It also spawned a 70s sitcom, Mork and Mindy. Okay, 1974 saw the release of Stephen F. Barone as the Lords of Flatbush with Winkler, Sylvester Stallone. And then in 77, the variety show Sha-na-na, named after the group we'll be talking about a little bit more, hit the thing. This is a high watermark came in 78 with the release of Grease it says two major theatrical releases. The bigger one, the one that went straight for the spirit of the decade, was Grease. So that was one. Then another one, American Hot Wax, a biop on Alan Freed, centered around a show at the Brooklyn Paramount. It had Jay Leno, Fran Drescher, Lorraine Newman, and performing was like Chuck Berry, Jerry Lee Lewis, Jaw Hawkins, Frankie Ford. In 79, the waves started to crest. Happy Days dropped to 17th. Laverne and Shirley couldn't break the top 30. A movie, The Wanderers, concerning some greasers, set in 63, including Ken Wall in his first role. Unhappy with Folk Music came out. A question left behind in this article asks, what was it that made Americans run towards the 50s at that time? Anything we could see, it was a time of change. And so, I don't know, maybe that's like why the 80s revival. I don't know, it doesn't seem like there's that as intense of an 80s revival going on right now. It's just more of an 80s appreciation. Because a lot of us are like, the vanilla version of the 80s is not what we want to live in, you know. It's like, okay, I like synth music. Here's some things I liked about the 80s. Synth music, neon. But you say, well, we could use a little bit more kindness and openness that we have now. Okay, so Bill, what do you think so far? Interesting, huh? Okay, let's check out this article here. Is this leads us to the 50s? This makes sense because I was born in the 70s and then grew up in the 80s. And so this article is from georgeleonard.com. George Leonard, a PhD, wrote this, Sha-na-na and the Woodstock Generation. It's by George Leonard, class of 67, and Robert Leonard, class of 70, at Columbia College Today. Spring Summer Issue, 1989, page 28. And it starts with an editor's note, and this kind of covers the history of Sha-na-na, that the Columbia Kingsmen, a student singing group, they traded their jacket ties and rah-rah spirit for some more flash and became Sha-na-na. Soon after their memorable Grease Under the Stars concert at Low Plaza, they shot to stardom. And they played at Woodstock, the Fillmore's, East and West, and many venues in between. Their success inspired the Broadway musical Grease, followed by the movie Grease, in which they appeared, and they eventually had their own television series. This is two of the founders. Holy mackerel, I didn't know, sorry. They reminisce of the early days. So this is their kind of memory of it. Interesting. Yeah, Columbia students of the 60s grew up knowing that it was a major force in popular culture. They had Ginsberg and Kerouac leading the beats, the beat poets, Hart and Hammerstein. Hart and Hammerstein were giants for the modern musical. Art Garfunkel, you know, one of the heads of folk rock. So it made sense that they were represented in Columbia, or Columbia was represented at Woodstock, and in the movie Woodstock, and later held the record for the most encores. And the Kinks had to wait online, wait for them one time when they were opening or something. So Sha Na Na started as the Columbia Kingsmen, even after Woodstock, during its fame, during their fame as a Fillmore headliner. When members would drop out, they recruited new ones from Columbia, like Scott Simon and John Bowser Bauman, the group's second leader. This was written in 1999, the 20th anniversary of Woodstock, and we found ourselves wanting to write not so much a history of Sha Na Na, but something that would recapture that spring, as, you know, there's a big time of change in the world. Spring 1969, the glory that was Greece in Woolman Plaza, the first East Coast Greece Festival, and the Greece Under the Stars concert. Before the Columbia Kingsmen went into rock and roll, there were no oldie stations and no theater rock. Groups still stood on the stage like the Beatles and sang their album. Though a lead singer like Jagger might dance around. Theater rock, that's interesting. Okay. Above all, there were no 50s. The 50s were still accurately remembered for it being the area that they were. 80s without the glamour. The beats dropped out. You know, so it wasn't, this is cool that they have a different memory of it. So 1969 was a turbulent year at Columbia and around the world. George Leonard's daily dining room handouts and twice-a-week weekly Spectator ads were revised the 50s into a pre-political Eden, and the Kingsmen were very excited when, after the glory that was Greece and Woolman, this kind of talks about, you know, just your college days, a mythical world before politics. So Sean and I grew up out of a unique midnight bowl session atmosphere in the Columbia dorms. When George was a junior, he used to play a game that Ed soon boosted into a national institution, trivia. George, meanwhile, banded floor members into an underground film company, and they would film. They have trivia contests, and the Kingsmen would sing like songs like "Little Darlin." They wore blazers and stood in a semicircle. And this is an interesting article, but it's pretty, like, I don't want to dig too deep. I didn't realize it was that intense. So let's get into who is Sha Na Na, and then we'll get into my personal journey. So Bill, I think Bill, Bill's, yeah, come on, Bill, put your head in my lap. So I put Bill's head in my lap. So Sha Na Na, according to Wikipedia, is an American rock and roll group. I remember they're theater rock, which I did not realize at the time. And the name of the song is taken from a series of nonsense syllables in the doo-wop hit "Get a Job," a 57's hit by the Silhouettes. They're billing themselves as from the streets of New York. And here's the thing. Okay, before I go to the Wikipedia article, I guess I will go off topic. Because here's a couple of things I remember. Bill, oh yeah, Bill's sitting up now. So my memory of Sha Na Na was one, so my parents actually went to Sha Na Na concerts, and it was very out of character for them, or at least I had this idea that they did, and I said, okay, my parents don't go to any concerts that I know of. They went to Sha Na Na, and at some point I formulated it as more of like just like people dressed like greasers from the movie Grease. standing on the stage. I guess I kind of viewed it in a serious, I don't know why. I mean, maybe because it was from my childhood memory of like, kind of like a cover band. I don't know. I really had this memory of it in some like serious, non-fun way, which doesn't make any sense because even if you were covering the music of the 50s, and maybe it is just my objection to vanillification. Like I said, well, I don't want to be into like a, I'm not into idealizing a time that never existed. So I just had this memory. I mean, mostly of Bowser going, like he used to, these at the TV show, I think he would sing a goodnight song and he would do something with like his bicep and his hand. And he had the deep voice and he was silly. And I remember laughing at that. And so I said, well, if they're in concert, I was just picturing, I said, what would that be? And I didn't really remember anything about the TV show other than that Bowser part. And so, I don't know, I guess I held some strange resentment or assumption about Sha-na-na. And then I loaded up this Woodstock video. I mean, I read about it, I said, Gold LeMay, that doesn't sound like the Sha-na-na that's in my memory. And then I saw I saw their video from Sha-na-na, and I mean, obviously there was probably a lot going on at Woodstock, you know, that people were feeling pretty good. And the members of Sha-na-na did, like, they were dressed, I don't know, it was something bordering fun and campy without, and maybe some people felt like it wasn't like just celebrating the 1950s. Yeah, but it wasn't making fun of it either. It was something, I guess, like, it was neither. And so, like, there was these dudes, like, there was dancers, like, dancing, like, their rears off in Gold LeMay. And then there was people, you know, there was the music playing. And there was just much more joy there than I had anticipated witnessing. And so that immediately changed my perspective. And I said, Bill, like, look at this. Can you, and Bill said, I can't believe it. Look at that dancing. And then I also said, I guess I could see my parents at this. But yeah, so they would be danced according to Wikipedia in Gold LeMay leather jackets, pompadour and ducktail hairdos. And they would do a song and dance repertoire of classic 50s rock and roll. Oh, simultaneously reviving and parodying the music and the 1950s New York culture. Sean and I also hosted a syndicated series, variety series, that ran from 77 to 81. And the current touring group features original members Donnie York and Jaco Marcinello and Scott Simon. Everyone else from the original band and the TV show has since departed. So, yeah, they started at Columbia as a Kingsman. Then they started performing and they, you know, they got this conceived by George Leonard, a graduate student in humanities. They started performing in 69, kind of at the height of the counterculture. And before they went on stage before Jimi Hendrix, and they had this 90-second appearance in the Woodstock film, which sparked a lot of this, according to this article, this nostalgia movement. And since then they've like pretty much been touring for the past however many 30 plus years. And they also hosted the TV show, which, so then I also watched the TV show, and then I didn't remember it. But once I started playing, I said, holy cow, like I definitely remember. It was like a skit show with music. So different than Saturday Night Live. At that time, there was Hee Haw, which was a comedy skit show, I think at the same time. And I guess at some point before that, I never saw a laughing, even when it was on Nick at Night. I guess I had the same feeling like with Sean and I said, I'm not going to watch that show. But I think that was very similar. And I didn't really watch very much Hee Haw, but I think that was another syndicated variety comedy show. And they had a lot of great guests, and I did watch some clips on YouTube of that, and I said, oh, wait a second, like, they would have a cabbie who would drive in the musical guests and crack jokes, and there was a lot of singing and dancing, and it seemed like a fun show. I said, oh, I guess I could see myself as, a two- or three-year-old watching this, and they would have comedy songs. So I guess it makes sense that as a kid, then I found my way to Dr. Demento. Let me just see what I can look up about the thing. Because then I interviewed my parents. I didn't tape it because it's a sleep podcast. But according to Wikipedia, the syndicated series had 97 episodes. It was produced by Pierre Cassette, distributed by Lexington Broadcast Services Company. The episodes were 22 minutes. And they played hits from the 50s and the 60s, along with comedy skits. It had a nostalgic theme, but with a contemporary twist, and even popular acts from the 70s. John Bowser Bauman would close out each show by saying goodnight and Grease for Peace. And then they would sing goodnight, sweetheart, goodnight, the closing theme song. This was what I watched before I went to bed. They would also announce as in character, the show has been previously recorded, so it might not be around. So that's a little bit about it. So then I asked my parents, they said, okay, mom, did you guys really go see Shauna and I in concert? Did you go to see Shauna and I? Tell me about Shauna and I. And she said, the first thing she said, I think we saw them like 5 times. And then I said, whoa, wait a second. And she said, yeah, I think it was a tradition for when I was pregnant, I would go see Shauna and I. And they toured pretty regularly, I guess, so that was possible. My mom had 6 kids, so that was also possible. And two were twins, so that is possible. The numbers do line up. But so, what was I saying? So I said, okay, tell me more. And then she kind of said, well, I remember going when, she goes, I think I was pregnant with you, was the first time we went to see you, and it just seemed like something random or something fun. And so they went with my dad and some of my dad's friends or their friends or whatever, or maybe his coworkers. And it was at this War Memorial Theater in Syracuse. And I guess it was very cold. My mom was very pregnant, and they were sitting right up front, and they said it was a great time. And that everybody was, my mom was very, very pregnant with me. So maybe this was the time I said, this is just too much jostling and music, which they said that they piled a bunch of jackets on her belly. Oh, maybe it was from the noise. I didn't get it. I said, oh, okay. And I didn't ask. I was like, oh, is it because it's cold? But maybe it was because it was so loud at the concert. They piled jackets on my mom. That would make sense. Like if they were sitting up front. And then my mom said, yeah, it was pretty fun. And we probably went every time, because they played a lot at the free concerts of the New York State Fair. So that would make sense. And she said, yeah, we liked it. And yeah, we remember watching the show. And then I interviewed my dad about it. And he gave me a little more contextuality, like if somebody born in that era, in of those generations, was that. So my dad said, well, he grew up in the Bronx in New York City. And he said, one of the things, he goes, there wasn't a lot to do. And he goes, this was like when he was a kid, the era when portable transistor radios came out. And so it was this new thing. And he said, well, you know, if you saved, and my dad said, he was like, I always had a job. And he goes, so I saved my money and I had my own radio. And he goes, you know, we lived in these, I guess you'd call them housing, my parents lived in Parkchester. It's a lot of apartment buildings all around one another. And my dad did. So he said you would go out and he goes all around the neighborhood. You'd have groups of kids or hanging out, listening to the radio and singing. And he said that was a pastime you did to have fun. And he said, you know, so him and his friends would sit around. He goes, different groups of people would be doing it. And I said, this is like a Scorsese, the nice part of a Scorsese movie, you know, before any of the action. But he said, you would sit around and him and his friends would sit around, listen to the radio and sing songs. And he said, you know, a lot of the songs of that era were these, I forget the word, harmonies, I guess, where almost like a cappella, you could sing it and there'd be all these different low. And I don't know a lot about it. I mean, I was like, holy cow, Dad, have you seen, I forget the names of the movies about the a cappella movies. But so in I just almost had it in my brain, but sing off, but so he said, yeah, that's what we like to do. And he goes, so it makes sense that it would be such a popular, he goes, that was like one of the things we love doing is listening to these old songs, singing along. And he goes, that was a joyous time, you know, that was like a joyous, fun pastime we all had, especially, you know, in the summer, you know, you'd be out of your apartment and you'd be out there and you had this freedom because you had the radio. And so he said, yeah, there was, he goes, then with this revival with the Shanana stuff, he said, it was just cool because it was like, oh yeah, I remember singing. And he goes, you know, that was like just the music we liked because all these voices were in harmony in these different ways. And then, yeah, his memory was similar to my mom's. He said, yeah, we got like, he goes, I don't know if it was because she was like pregnant to celebrate or he goes, but we went to this concert, which kind of seems out of character, but I guess this was before my parents had kids and especially me, and I was in a lot of trouble. So, you know, they were out celebrating and he also remembered them piling all the jackets on my mom's belly. And, so I think it's interesting, Bill, like, that we came back here. I think I learned a little bit more about my parents. And I also learned, like, oh, what I remember, like, I mean, I don't think I'm going to, especially now that Shanana is something that's now nostalgic for Shanana, I don't know, but I could watch the TV show maybe a couple times, Bill. And now that I realize that it was more fun and less serious. I guess sometimes I get serious, Bill. Yeah, and then I need you. I should consult with you more often, and just have you hold my hand and sit here with me, and say, yeah, it's okay to look. It's interesting to when you get curious to look back at things and say, isn't it interesting? And yeah, it's okay to go back there and say, well, I had mixed feelings about that. I wonder why. So thanks for being here at my side, Bill. And thank you, listeners. Really interesting journey. I'm glad you came along with me. Good night. I want to thank everybody joining the Patreon in the past week. So thanks and good night to Harper, Catherine, and Rochelle. Thank you. Thanks and good night. Thanks and good night to Tori, to Amy, and to Becca. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Thanks, and good night to Kim, to Jennifer, and to Marlise. Thanks, and good night. Thank you, and good night to Liz, to Sam, and to Will. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Thanks, and good night to Danielle, to Lee, and to Aaron. Thanks, and good night. Thanks and good night to Mary, to Lisa, and to Beck. Thank you. Thanks and good night. Thanks and good night to Megan, and Ole, and Brittany. Thank you. Thanks and good night. Thanks and good night to Ellen, Michelle, and Sean. Thanks and good night to Sammy, to Sarah, and Trent. Thanks and good night to Morgan, Ian, and Drew. Thanks and good night to Day, to Hannah, and Danielle. Thanks and good night to Michael, Hannah, and Daniel. Thanks and good night to Heidi and to Runt. So thanks everybody for supporting the show. If you want to support the show on Patreon, become a patron. Help support the show, subsidize it for the free listeners a little bit. You can go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/patron and say, yeah, I believe I'm a rebel with a cause. I believe in paying for something free so it can be out there in the world. Sleep With Me is also a member of Night Vale Presents. You can check out all the shows over there at nightvalepresents.com. And we're also a member of PRX. You can see everything they're doing at prx.org. And here you go. Let me tuck you in if you need another episode. We do our best to keep plenty of them going and out there for you. So snuggle in and good night. Thanks. All right, everybody. This is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my weeks in review stuff, what was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, and whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcast, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in this, my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story only versions of the show, the all intro, all night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them, and yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is a bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So, yeah, like that's something we're looking forward to doing. And, yeah, that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series, I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier, and Multiplex episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever needed support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. So if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in at the end of the free show too. But yeah, like this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepingmepodcast.com. if you need support at supercast.com, and good night.